All right, so as you can tell, today's a little bit different. We're going to do things, we're going to shake it up just a little. But I'm actually really pumped about today because we're going to do youth here today. You're going to get to experience how we do youth service upstairs. Now, I want to take into consideration, it is going to be a little bit different, and it's actually going to take some effort by you guys. So the one thing that I want to let you guys know is that, so when the district youth director came back in November, he spoke about how youth are changing, how they're learning, how they're growing uniquely. And he also talked about how they want to socialize. They want to have space for conversations that are meaningful. Well, as meaningful as youth can have a conversation. But the good news is for our church is that we're actually working that way already. We've been doing it for the last 6 months. And it's just not the way that youth was when you and I were doing youth. As a matter of fact, games are not the norm anymore. We played games on Christmas. We haven't played a game probably since last Christmas because we've taken the games out because the youth want to have a moment of conversation. Now, I can see in all of your guys' faces that you are totally confused about what's going to happen next. So this is what's going to happen. We are actually going to go into discussion groups right here during service. So that group right there will be led by Lindsay. They're going to have a discussion group. All this section right here, you guys know, Nathan, you're going to go over here. Hannah, you're going with this group. Nathan is going to hop over here, and you're going to be with this group. Julie's going to have this front group right up here. Quentin's going to have those, that group back there. And what you're going to do is you're going to turn and actually have a conversation. The youth leaders have a few questions that you're going to ask, and you're going to have about 5 to 7 minutes to actually start with a discussion. So enjoy. Nathan, will you put on some background music for this? All right, go ahead and kind of move towards your group. Well, so I hope you guys actually had fun with that. We actually do that every week in the youth service, but we actually take about 20 minutes, believe it or not, at the beginning of service. That's kind of what we do. But today we're going to actually, you guys are in luck. It's about a 15-minute message. It makes Nathan Bash just so happy that he gets to see the full pregame show today. But I want to start off today with just a little fun story. It starts in 1955 in Disneyland. It had just opened up in Anaheim, California, when a 10-year-old boy walked in and asked for a job. Labor laws were a little bit loose back then, and the boy actually managed to land a position selling guidebooks for 50 cents a piece. Within a year, he had transitioned to Disney's Magic Ship, where he learned tricks from older employees. He experimented with the jokes and tried out simple routines on visitors. Soon he discovered that what he loved was not performing magic, but performing in general. His sights were focused on becoming a comedian. Beginning in his teenage years, he started performing at little clubs around LA. The crowds were small, he was short, and he was rarely on stage for more than 5 minutes, like my preaching. Most of the people in the crowd were too busy enjoying themselves in the atmosphere or paying attention to their friends to never pay attention to him. One night, he discovered his stand-up routine. He delivered his stand-up routine even to an empty club. It was not glorious work, but there is no doubt he was getting better. His first routines only lasted a minute or two. By high school, it expanded to 5 minutes, and later he actually had a 10-minute show. By the age 19, he was performing for 20 minutes at a time, and you could see that his skill continued to progress. He spent another decade experimenting, adjusting, and practicing. He took a job as a television writer and gradually was able to land his appearance on talk show hosts. By the 70s, he had worked his way on being a regular guest on The Tonight Show and on Saturday Night Live. Finally, after 15 years of work, the young man rose to fame and became one of the most successful comedians of all time. His name is Steve Martin. Motivation. All motivation is intrinsic. It's the internal motivation that actually drives us who we are. And intrinsic motivation can be good and it can be bad. We can wake up in the morning, for example, and say, today I'm going to do a 2-mile walk without my phone. And as the day starts, wouldn't you know it, the car breaks down. The office is desperate for the need of you. The kids are crazy. Food needs to be prepped. Oh, I forgot I had a doctor's appointment or kids practice. And before you know it, our desire to walk 2 miles is totally gone. It's 8 p.m. You haven't showered yet. You are mentally exhausted. You sit on the couch, start watching TV, or you lose yourself for the next few hours in your phone before you realize it's only Monday. And you go to bed defeated and upset at yourself. We all live here. So I started to read a book, and I haven't finished it yet, but it's called Atomic Habits. I think there it is, right there. And although it's not a Christian book, it has some very, very practical practices that we can implement not only in our lives, but with our relationship with Christ. But before we dive into it, I want to look at this one piece of scripture that actually always makes my knees tremble just a little bit. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, do you not realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, who is given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, even though most of us think we do. For God bought you at a high price, so you must honor God with your body. This verse is not only talking about the physical body, but it's also talking about our mind, our body, and our soul. Now, I don't want to negate the fact that when I look in the mirror, I am not God's gift to men right now. When I watch the video, I get it. I got room to grow right. Well, room not to grow. We need to shrink is what we need to be doing. I get it. And so today's message is actually not preaching or speaking to you. It's really talking to myself. When I was writing it, I'm like, oh, dear Jesus. So this really is about an encouragement today. And you know, the psalmist, he wrote in Psalms 90, verse number 12, and it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Our days are numbered, folks. They really are. But what am I doing to maybe make those days a few days longer? Right now? Not much. But we're going to work on that. But nothing can come for granted. We are all not guaranteed tomorrow. Yet, some of our habits say that we say otherwise. Developing healthy habits with looking at, we need to look at the meaning of the word habit. Habit, simply put, is a routine or a behavior that is performed regularly. Now, in case some of you don't know this, I don't really want to say this pridefully, but I'm back in college right now, and so I actually learned something from college this last semester. I'm really pumped about that. There's this guy, he's called Pavlov. And so he did something. Anybody ever heard of Pavlov's, yes? Have you guys heard the experiment with the dog? Okay. For you that are like me and never heard it until this year, I'm going to give it a real quick breakdown, okay? So some of you are smarter than I was or am. But Pavlov, basically, for the lack of going into the deep details, he decided he wanted to do an experiment Pavlov stated that an idea that some things that a dog does, they do not necessarily learn. For examples, dogs don't learn to salivate when they see food. The reflex is just hardwired into that dog. So Pavlov noticed that when the dog was presented with a bowl of food, it salivated. So Pavlov believed that a learned behavior could take place or the dog could be conditioned. So before each feeding, he rang a bell before, or some places say a metronome, but he had some kind of stimulant that he sounded or used right before he would give the dog the food. What he found out is that some of that, whenever he would ring that bell, the dog would salivate. That behavior became a learned behavior. Most of our habits are from conditioned responses that we have learned through our life. When I go to Quick Trip, not going to lie, Quick Trip is like my enemy right now. I go in and what do? I walk right over to the rollers, right? There's those hot dogs, there's those taquitos, there's whatever there is. And the old Quick Trip and I, we are mortal enemies. Or when I go to the fridge, I grab something to snack on. Or perhaps when I get upset, I yell. When somebody hurts me, I get even. When I feel God let me down, I turn from Him. These are all habits that have occurred over time. Do you want to read your Bible? Then why is it that the life happens so fast sometimes and we forget? We all have these goals. Goals by themselves are not bad. But did you know that having a goal can actually cause some certain issues? Now, I don't know if many of you, if this is probably a proper place to say it, but if you've ever seen the movie Dodgeball, there is the owner of Average Joe's, Peter LaFleur, and he has a quote in it that says, "I found that if you have a goal, you might not reach it. But if you don't have one, then you're never disappointed." And I got to tell you, it feels phenomenal. That's not exactly where we should be living. But there are some fundamental problems with having goals. First off, did you know that winners and losers both have the same goal? The goal may be to win the game, but only one team is going to win that game. Or perhaps every candidate wants the job, only one candidate is going to get the job. There is only one who meets their goal. Everybody else fails. The second thing that's kind of an issue with some of our goals is achieving a goal is only a momentary change. Okay, let me give you an example. I want a clean house, right? Love a clean house. My kids will tell you it's probably one of my biggest things. I love a clean house. And so every couple weeks, I'll actually take time, I take a half a day, and I'll clean the house, I'll vacuum the house, I'll mop the floor, because we have wood floors, we don't have carpet. So I'll mop, I'll do a whole bunch of cleaning, and man, it feels good. And for that moment right there, the house is clean. But I'm going to tell you right now, the moment that my kids walk through that door, my house is dirty again. Or perhaps the moment that we do a meal, my sink is full again. Or that we go down and we do chores because we live in a homestead and it's been raining for 42 days. And so we go down and we do chores. And mud all through the house. And I'm like, I just mopped. That goal of having a clean house was only for a moment. Then that goal is gone. It only lasts for a moment. Goals actually restrict our happiness too. I'll be happy if you fill in the blank. It's one of the most dangerous ones because it's an either or. You can either achieve your goal and you're successful or you fail and you get disappointed. And then the last thing is goals actually lead to a yo-yo effect. Many people, now let me explain this one. Many people who run and they may be training for a marathon, right? They train really, really hard. And so they run and run and run. And once they accomplish that goal, the minute that they're done running that marathon, they're done practicing. All of that effort for that goal, which was fine to run a marathon, within just a few weeks, it's gone. And you go back to where you were before. You go back to some of your old habits. But instead of looking at our goals, what we need to do what we need to do is start looking at the systems that we have in place. Commitment to the process is what will determine your progress. Let me say that again because it's important. Commitment to the process is what will determine your progress. Instead of looking big, what we need to be doing is start to look small. To obtain these goals, we put systems in place. Goals are about the results you want to achieve. Systems are about the process that leads to those results. To make atomic habits of change, You must make tiny changes or marginal gains or 1% improvement. Now think about this. Think about that 1%. Let's say for me personally, I want to start to go on that weight loss journey. My 1% may be, hey, I need to just say no to Coke today. You know, because I don't know about you, but man, Coca-Cola Classic and I, we love each other very, very much. Maybe too much. And maybe my goal, and it, when we're talking 1%, we may be just talking 1% for the next 2 weeks. My 1% is only to take away the Coke for this next week. So then what ends up happening is we put in something called implementation intention. I should have came up with a better word than that. Shouldn't have copied the book on that one. We plan before we act. How come this, it's very curious, how come if we put it on our calendar, we are more likely to do it? Like if you put something on your calendar, you are more likely to do it than if you don't. So, if you want to lose weight, how about meal prep? I know, it's I don't like it either. That means you spend all Sunday preparing food for the whole week. But if you want to get rid of a habit, there's a reason why they call them convenience stores. Pay for your gas at the pump. Don't go into the convenience store. 1%. That's your 1%. That you can say, okay, I'm not going to walk in there and put myself into temptation. Instead, yeah, I got to have gas. We all got to have gas. But I'm not going to walk in to put myself in those kind of situations. If you are having problems with anger, do the 1%. Say a scripture verse. Found one. Super easy. All you got to do is Google anger. It's like, whew, like 3 pages worth. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Do the 1%. Start to memorize some scripture. When you start to become overwhelmed with some anger or whatever, anxiety, depression, and I'm not saying that there is not clinical to any of that. I'm going to tell you that right now. But one thing that we can do 1% of the time is start to speak scripture. When you start to memorize it, it becomes engraved in your heart, and then it becomes, you start to live that scripture out. If you're lustful, do the 1%. Put the phone down. It's not that hard. I know, like, so we, and what, all these things are simple ways that we can improve by 1%. Do you want to spend more time with God? Then put it on your calendar. Put it in your calendar. That way your phone reminds you, because the phone does a great job. It reminds me every time I forget I have a doctor's appointment. Do you want to read more? Then take the first 5 minutes of your day and spend it with God. Before you do anything else, open that scripture verse. I tell this to the youth all the time, and Pastor probably not going to like that I say this. If you're really struggling to get with God, then put the Bible near your bathroom. You take time in the morning, open it up while you're sitting there. Some glorious things happen in the morning while you're doing your... While you're sitting there. Hey, but you want to know what? Improve 1%. Are you struggling to get with God? Take the 1%. Find places. God wants to spend time with you. He doesn't care where He spends time with you. If that's where you have to improve, because then what ends up happening is that 1% continues to grow. My 1%. A few 3 years ago, I really wanted to wake up every day and spend it with God. And you can ask my kids, you can ask my family. It's on the kitchen table at 2:30 in the morning. I spend 10 to 15 minutes with God every day reading. The 1% that I can do, I start my day. I can't do it upstairs in the bedroom because it's too early in the morning. I'd wake up Heidi. I already sound like an elephant in a china closet. Anyway, so we go downstairs and in the kitchen. Or in the dining room. I just spend 5, 10, 15 minutes with God every day. And it's my 1%. And I'm going to tell you right now that if I told you that I did it every day for the last 3 years, I'd be lying to you. And the days that I've missed, have been some of the worst days of my life that I didn't spend with God. Not that anything bad happened, but what it was I was in a bad mood. I was just in a bad mood. I didn't spend time with my God, the one that I rely on the most. My 1% is that. And that's just one example. Do you want to pray more? When you're driving, turn off the radio. Or put on some soaking music. We play soaking music in here all the time. Is your 1%, you just want to spend some more time just praying and glorifying God. Then turn off the radio, or at least turn off the talk radio, the ones that have words to it, and put on some soaking music. Put on something where you can just take time and focus on God. You may think you lack motivation, but the reality is that you just lack a system. Now, what we're going to do now is actually we're going to go back into our small groups. We're going to talk about this a little bit, or our discussion groups. So your discussion leaders or small group leaders or youth leaders, whatever you want it is, they have another list of questions. They're going to put some music on the background. And we're going to actually just talk a little bit about hopefully what you listened to today. And then we're going to come back and we'll close it here in just a few minutes. So, all right, go ahead and go. So here is the irony of all of that. Did you guys know that you spent 17 minutes discussing with your peers about just life and maybe the sermon? Now you see how like 30 minutes of a youth service can be gone so quickly. But I want to finish with one last thought. If you're like me and starting these new goals or systems, I get really pumped up, right? I go to the grocery store. My fridge is going to be full of fruits and veggies, and it's going to be full of all the goodies and things that I should have. And by Friday, if I don't start putting good systems in place, then what ends up happening is by Friday, I'm going to be like, oh, that double cheeseburger sounds so good right now. Or for me, it's pasta, lasagna. Oh, lasagna sounds so good. And then, so I'll give in. And then I'm like, okay, I'll restart tomorrow. But tomorrow turns into Monday. Monday turns into the next month. And then I'm looking at, well, then I'm going to start again in 2025. But the biggest thing about getting our systems in place is this. You got to show up. If you don't try, you will not succeed. And even if it's just that 1%, that 1% of how I got to be better, that's why it's so important. I encourage you, if you're a reader, go get that book, Atomic Habits. It's by James Clear. Go get the book and read it. I pulled out like three of like highlights. The book is 250 pages long. I could not put 250 pages in 15 minutes. But if you like today or you like some of the things that maybe you learned, go give that book a read. But the biggest thing is show up. Show up. If you messed up today, try again tomorrow. Keep showing up. That is the only way that you're ever going to be able to put systems in place that are going to have success. So the last thing that I want to finish with today is I want to give a huge shout out to our youth leaders who they were extremely nervous. Well, some of them are a little bit prideful, but I don't know who that is. But that's not easy, by the way, to have them come and do a group discussion with peers like that. So you see what these guys do. By the way, you see what they do here. Imagine what they're doing upstairs. It is so awesome to see. They really are the true youth pastors upstairs. They're the ones that have time to speak into the students. They're the ones that are sitting down and talking to them. I just get to guide them. But they're the ones that are actually doing the work upstairs. And I just am indebted to them because they really are making a difference in students' lives where we do this for 20, 30 minutes every time we meet. And those students, if those leaders aren't there, they're asking. Yes, Hannah, they're asking. Where's Hannah at today? Where's she been? Hannah thinks nobody ever noticed she's gone. Yes, we are. Yes, I did. That way you can go back and listen to it sometime. Man, guys, thank you for doing that today. Thank you for just doing church a little different this morning. I appreciate that. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray a prayer, a scripture over us, and then we're going to go and we're going to have an awesome New Year's Eve into New Year's. So the scripture is this. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of my sight be acceptable. Oh, I just screwed that up. So wow, I just messed that up. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Guys, go have a wonderful New Year. See you guys next year.